Hello, reader. You're plugged in to another episode of PageCast, brought to you by Jonathan Ball Publishers. We hope you enjoy it.
Hi, everyone. My name is Dizanga Nemanashi. I am the marketing manager at Jonathan Ball Publishers. Let me start off by saying that I am very excited about today's conversation. We finally have a book written in a South African context about Mjolo. So I've been married for 8 years. I've been with my husband for 12 years, but make no mistake, before the ring came, I went through my own fair share of Mjolo challenges, as we all do. And honestly, when I look back, I think it's a rite of passage that not everybody's going to meet somebody and lock eyes with them and fall in love at first sight. Most of us first have to navigate the wild, confusing, and sometimes hilarious world of dating before we meet our person. Dating in South Africa comes with its own fair share of challenges. International books just don't get it. Today, I am joined by the amazing Dudu Nhlabathi Madonsela, affectionately known as the Peaceful One on social media. Dudu is a powerhouse. She's got a strong background in marketing and management, and she's also made her name for herself as a dating coach. You might recognize her from Single Wives Essay, where she helped the participants decode the modern dating scene. And now she's packed all of her wisdom and she's sharing it in her book, The Dating Playbook, How to Win at Mjolo and Love. Welcome, Dudu.
Hi, Zwanga. How are you?
I'm good. But before we get into it, I just want to say to everybody who's listening that if you're tired of swiping left, tired of being ghosted, tired of trying to decode mixed signals, then you are in the right place. If you want to start approaching dating with confidence, humor, and a solid game plan, stay tuned because we are about to get real, keep it unfiltered, and a little bit spicy. We're going to be chatting about the big questions about love, dating, and relationships. A few of my friends and I have had lots of conversations about over the years about love. How do we find it? How do we keep it? Even though I'm married, I have a lot of single friends and we have a lot of conversations about Mjolo. So now I have a few questions from friends and from Dudu's social media pages. Follow her on TikTok if you want to get more from this conversation. And we've picked out the best questions that people always ask about Mjolo. First things first, why do exes keep coming back after you've moved on?
So you have to look at the process when, well, the breakup process, right? So when women go through a breakup process, what we do is that we go and we tell our friends, you know, we wear matching pajamas and you cry and we dissect it. Oh, you did this, you didn't do this and so forth. We go through the emotions, right? You know, we take our time and you just go through the emotions. Well, with guys, what guys do is that they park their emotions and then they go on with their lives and so forth and whatever. And then the emotions come back. And there's two types of guys when it comes to an ex wanting to come back. There's an ex where he realizes the value you were adding in his life. And he's like, oh no, I missed out on a good girl. And he realizes and he wants to come back. And then there's an ex that misses some element of you. But no, they like you, but they don't know what to do with you. But there was some kind of, there was one thing that you brought to the interaction that they like. So how do you know whether the guy really wants you back or the guy just misses the fact that you wash his curtains and he just wants you back in his life? The guy who really, really regrets losing you will be consistent. You know, there'll be changed behavior and it'll be consistent change behavior. He will show you that I've changed and all the things that you didn't like about me that I was doing wrong, he'll be consistent about it. A guy who just wants you back because, I don't know, you were the prettiest girl on his hand, in his arms or something like that, or, you know, you washed these curtains, he's not going to be consistent about it. And if a guy's not consistent about it, don't waste your time.
So when should I start washing curtains?
Date guys with washing machines or who can afford laundry services or who can... And you know, in my book, I talk about this. This is what irks me. So I once did a TikTok and they were talking about, this guy was like, he's expecting his girlfriend to do his laundry for him. And, you know, these guys were commenting on this, on his status, and they were saying, no, it's true. Yes, she should, because you're testing whether she's wife material. And I said, sorry, in the African culture, you are taught that you cannot be a wife until you become a wife. So where is this coming from that people should come and wash your curtains and so forth? The other guys justified it and said, no, if I'm giving her a girlfriend allowance, that you must do my curtains. I was like, ultimately, then you're hiring a maid, right? I mean, if you're a girl and you feel like you can demand girlfriend allowance, these are the consequences that come with it. Now the guy sees you as an instrument in his life to be able to do things. But what was he doing before you came into his life? Who was washing his curtains? Whoever was must carry on washing those curtains, please.
That is so funny. Ladies, I hope you have listened and you're going to stop washing people's curtains.
Do you know how hard it is to wash a jean? And they scrub it. I was like, what would you? I would die of something. Yet to be discovered by doctors.
I am sure you have heard this question. You've had people ask you those questions a million times. Why do I keep attracting broke guys?
Because you'd keep entertaining broke guys. So everyone gets asked by broke guys, be it as the guy at the back of the van or the guy who's just passing by, doesn't have a plan. But why is it when they end up having your numbers and texting you and all sorts of things? And it speaks to you how you feel about yourself. And usually what I find is that it's usually women with a low self-esteem. It's either they believe that that which they want, they are not deserving that which they desire. But the other thing is people with control issues. It's easy to control a broke guy than to be able to control your equal, right? And what happens is that these women, because maybe they either just have control issues or bad habits or, they, you know, because a lot of the time, if you meet somebody who's your equal, this person's going to challenge you and it's going to challenge you to be a better version of yourself. And some people realize that being a better version of themselves requires a lot of work and they don't want to do the work. So I'd rather then hook up with a broke guy. I can control him. He's never going to give me honest feedback about myself because he's at the mercy of my bank account.
And then I would just want us to unpack that a little bit more. Why do I keep attracting players?
Because two things. It's either you are emotionally unavailable or you're addicted to chaos. And what do I mean? If you look at guys who are players, they usually are emotionally unavailable men. They don't know how to get to that level of vulnerability. And vulnerability is very important to establish a relationship. And usually those guys are fine. They have some kind of primary caregiver wound, especially a mommy wound. So what happens is that when you as a person are emotionally unavailable, I used to be emotionally unavailable. I'm still working on it. Hence, I make a good dating coach because you can tell me your problems. I don't have time to cry with you. I have time to give you honest feedback on it. What used to happen when I was single, because I used to fear that I would mess up a relationship, I used to go and get players because they're going to disappoint me anyway, right? You know, and then I can go to society. It's not me, it's him. You know, he's a player and so forth. And usually, sometimes it's because you are emotionally unavailable and this is the best way to manage that. Or the other thing is that you grew up under very chaotic circumstances where either your father, your uncles, or the men around you, you know, they just your aunts had toxic attachments and you've normalized that. And for you, a relationship, if it doesn't have the excitement that comes with dating a player, because a player is very exciting, right? This guy, you know, he's when he leaves, you don't know if he's going to come back. Unrequited love. And it just means that, you know, you can almost have a person, but you don't fully have a person. You become addicted to this person. You know, when you have something drips and drabs, you look forward to having that thing and you look forward to seeing that person. And that's excitement. And you associate love or the excitement that comes with love with that toxic and chaotic attachment. And hence you end up attracting players.
What do you have to say to women who keep attracting men below their league?
So if you look at the men below the league, these are men whereby ultimately you desire to date within a certain league, but you end up settling for these men. And you must ask yourself, why do you end up settling? And it's an internal narrative that you have. So you know, in my book, I talk about the small town girl syndrome, where I'm like, she believes because, you know what, she doesn't come from the glitz and glam that comes with living in Johannesburg and so forth, that the men she desires have better options than to choose her. And because she's internalized this, what happens is that she goes for the safe guys. The guy below your league is usually a Mr. Can't Believe, I can't believe I got the girl. And this guy is just much more safer because you think, you know, it will take a lot for this guy to leave you. Unlike the guy who's upwardly mobile and you like him and he's got options and you feel like, oh, you know, they can steal him anytime. So it's a self-esteem issue.
Okay, but when do you know if you just have really high standards?
If you can't meet your own standards. So there's a lot of women out there and this is what, you know, I always say, what informs your standards? Why do you have the standards that you have? Is it because of a narrative you told yourself when you were 20? Is it society? Is it social media? You know, with this forever been a culture and you have these standards. And most of the time, women go in there and they say, I want what I want. But I always ask them, if you were a male equivalent of you, would you be able to give yourself that which you are asking for? And if you're not able to give yourself that, and sometimes the practicality, it's like, dating a guy who's a middle manager and he can only afford so much. You can't take me to Zurich and Davos and Geneva, whatever it is that was trending on social media lately. Everybody was in Davos. We don't know why, but they're there in Davos negotiating for the country. But anyway, if you can't do that for yourself and if you are the male equivalent, you couldn't do that. Why do you expect another person to be able to do that? And we hold on to these rigid standards that we have, but we don't ask ourselves what informs those standards. I always say you must be able to meet your standards in some shape or form. Because once you say, so, you know, it's like a woman who says, I only drink champagne. You know, if you really drink champagne, proper champagne, not sparkling wine, proper champagne, then you know how much champagne costs. For you to walk in and be like, I'm going to have two bottles of Verve on a date. You know, if you really drink that, you're going to be very considerate because of the fact that you know how much this costs. Usually it's people who don't even have access to that in their own personal capacity, but yet want to demand it from another person. So if you meet your standards, you're more likely to be very considerate when it comes to your standards.
Right. One of the things that I really enjoyed about your book is that it meets everybody where they are in their Mjolo journey. What is the best way to ease back into dating after a long break?
It is, one, to take your time. And number two, to not put a final outcome to it. And what do I mean by that? You know, let's say, for example, you've been out of the dating scene for like 4 to 5 years, right? First, understand that the market has moved. You know, different things, there's different trends that now influence how people date and so forth. And if you are so, you know, I find this especially with divorced friends of mine or divorced people, it's like they walk into this interaction and expect that guy to behave like a trained husband. And I'm like, no, but you trained the guy before. You know, you have to be able to give this person the benefit of the doubt. Also, you might have dated at a time where certain trends, dating trends were in. And now that is no longer so. For example, it's like, oh no, he called me an Uber. He didn't come fetch me with his car. Well, guys call Ubers right now. It's nice. It's the decency that, you know, he called you an Uber. The fact that you actually want him to get into, he called you an Uber. He made sure that you are safe. You know, you transportation and so forth. And they hold on to such rigid standards. The other thing is that, you know, if I don't have a problem with people dating with intent, but if you're putting a very rigid timeline, by the end of the year, I must be married or we must be negotiating lobola or whatever it is, you're going to struggle in that particular interaction because what happens is that you're going to come across as very forceful, very demanding, and you want things to happen at a certain time and you might miss out on a good guy. So for me, I always say people must be at ease. If you really want to enjoy dating, be at ease. Go for free meals, you know, good conversations and so forth. And just be clear in terms of what you're going to say no to and what you're going to say yes to. And the right guy is going to come, I promise you.
I love that. I love that so much. And I think it'll speak and resonate with so many women. How do you date with dignity in your 40s?
I think the one thing is that, one, your dating strategy. So what I find a lot of women in their 40s is that they would say, I am looking for a partner that I'm going to be able to settle down with. But yet, if you look at this, the Instagram, every second picture is bums out on Instagram. And also a very confused profile. Like one day you're in church, one day you are a mother, the other day you are bums up. Nobody knows what's going on with your life and so forth. And what happens is that they don't realize that in their 40s, you're probably likely dating men who are divorced, who are widowed, you know, or who have kids. Nobody wants to expose their family to somebody who's always bums out on Instagram and so forth. So I think one is to have a, just think about it, you know, like, you know, so you want somebody who, you want the person to be clear in terms of their dating strategy and make sure that their dating strategy is in line with the life cycle of the type of people that they want to meet, you know. And I think also the other thing about dating in your 40s is that society has told you that you've expired. And what happens is that a lot of women shortchange themselves in terms of being clear around their requirements. They take what is given to them because they feel that if I demand this, or I expect to be treated in a certain way, they're going to be like, but there's a 2000 that I can date that's less demanding than you. And I think we need to stop internalizing that. We look better than we've ever looked, you know, in a lifetime. Even we look better than we have ever looked, you know, never mind our predecessors, like we have ever looked, right? And so forth. We're not aging like our mothers and our grandmothers and so forth. And also, I just think, you know, there's so much to give as a woman in your 40s, that to walk around with the narrative that you've expired from what? I mean, most women in their 40s anyway, especially those who have kids, they don't want kids anymore. So what have you expired from? Because it's not like your eggs now are scrutinized as to whether they're good enough. And there's technology for that. You can do a lot of things. You know, people are giving birth at 50 and so forth. So if they can just take away that, because what happens is that they carry that energy into interactions and they misrepresent their needs and settle for something far less than what they really, really desire, especially in how they want to be treated.
All right. And what is the best way to ease back into dating after a long break?
Take your time. You know, I always tell people, go on dates. It's a free meal. Most of the time they're like, oh, no, but I'm not going to marry. He's not going to ask you. If he asks you to marry you on the first date, then we are concerned about him. He's not going to ask you to marry. Go. And you know, people, what they don't realize is the more you approach dating from a place of ease, and you go and you entertain people, you learn so much about yourself, right? Because people are mirrors, right? So you go there and, you know, you learn, okay, I don't like, or you know what, oh, this guy gave me feedback and so forth and whatever. And you learn so much about yourself, because what happens is a lot of people just enter dating and they don't know what they are predicting. So if you want to re-enter dating, first understand yourself as a person. That's why in my book, I was like, first, understand the landscape that you are dating. And so that when you see some things, you know, some people get offended. Oh, this guy asked me for money. We are living in an era of rabaki. We are living in the era of guys asking you money. It has nothing to do with you, right? So do not internalize it as what is about me that gave this guy the impression that, you know, he can ask me for money. I think that was the first part. The second part was about you. What are you projecting out there? And why are you projecting what you're projecting? You know, I do exercises around. Go and look at past boyfriends, go and see a pattern, what have you learned, what feedback was given to you and so forth. And then go and enjoy dating and apply the tactics. And don't apply with the tactics with an outcome in mind where it must happen in 6 months. Apply, you know, trial and error, and then you're going to discover so many things about you. And by the time you get to the point where you say, I want a partner, you'd be so clear as to who would be compatible with you, based on the things that you know are your deal breakers, or the things that you are flexible around. Because most people don't know the deal breakers or what they're flexible around. But you know, when you might think, you know, sometimes you go in and you're like, oh, I think I'm flexible around a guy having 5 kids. And then you go on a date with a guy who's got 5 kids and 3 baby mamas, and you see the logistics that come with having 3 baby mamas, and you're like, no, actually. Maybe one child is enough, right? Now you've learned something about yourself. Or maybe you were inflexible about a guy having kids, right? And then you go on a date with this guy and he has kids. And you know what? It's such a pleasant experience. Everything is under control. He's so responsible. You actually like the fact that he brings that energy through. And you're like, actually, maybe a guy with kids I might entertain, right? So go explore, understand yourself. And you'll get to the point where you're so clear about what you want, and it's not informed by TV, your imagination and so forth. It's informed by the fact that you've gone and tested these values out there and you were able to say, okay, this is what works for me.
I absolutely love that. And you know what they say, experience is the best teacher. So after you've done the work on yourself and you know what you want, how do you get your crush to notice you?
You know, Shem, when it comes to crushes, you know, if your crush hasn't noticed you in 3 months, you're not his type. I'm sorry, it's going to hurt your feelings. You're not his type. And I think what's, you know, most of the time is that people just hold on to, and I want to take away this thing that if a person rejects you, doesn't mean all men reject you. If your crush doesn't like you, doesn't mean that you are not likable and so forth. And it's just a crush. It's a figment of your imagination. Given them these characteristics, you might actually meet this guy and then you might say, hey, and then you realize, oh, actually, I don't know why I had a crush on you. So if your crush doesn't notice you, instead of putting all this effort in trying to get one guy to notice you, go and give other boys a chance. There's so much fish out there. Like, leave this one. Somebody will deal with him somewhere.
Absolutely. We are almost at the end of our conversation, but before we end, I just want to find out from you, what mindset shifts lead to the best dating experiences?
To not make it a destination, to be, you know, to, we all want love, companionship. We want somebody to walk this journey with us. We want to feel special and we want somebody to value us. And I think if you make it so much of a destination, the first guy who shows signs of that might not be the best for you. You got to jump onto that guy. And sometimes, you know, it might lead you in a direction that you don't desire. So for me, I always say, take your time, be at ease. People find each other all the time. Yes, the market might seem like it's a big, dirty swimming pool and the pool is full of all sorts of things. But people find each other all the time. And there's something that's very attractive about somebody being at ease. You know, have you ever been to a party and there was this guy and he was gorgeous and so forth, and he wasn't asking any of the girls out at the party? He becomes the most attractive guy in that environment because he's at ease. And people are attracted to people who are at ease. And my wish for everyone is that have fun, go out there, meet different types of people, but be at ease. Nobody wants a desperate Judy, to be quite honest.
Dudu's book is like having a wise, funny, and slightly mischievous bestie in your corner, giving you real talk about attraction, communication, and the unspoken rules of dating. Dudu, do you have any last words? Why should people go out and buy the book?
You know, I wrote the book in this format deliberately. The first was, I want you to understand the context in which you are dating and how that influences your dating life. And then the other thing, the second part was about self. How are you showing up? Why are you showing up the way you are showing up? And then the third part was tactics. And you know, so many tactics on the internet, and people go and try and apply these tactics and they fail because they actually haven't done the groundwork or, you know, the foundation work in order to be able to find a partner. So for me, the one thing that I would want is people to take away from the book is just to understand that, you know, human beings, we do not operate in a vacuum. We form part of a system, we're part of a tribe, and we have to be able to navigate both romantic and just interpersonal relationships in order for you to succeed in dating. And they are then give you tips in terms of if you really want to influence, because if you think about it, the art of attraction is the ability to influence somebody to perceive you in a certain way. And if you want to influence someone, how do you show up as the best version of yourself?
There you have it. The Dating Playbook is packed with relatable stories and practical strategies. It is the ultimate playbook for how to win at love without the drama. Thank you so much for listening to us. Go grab yourself a copy of the book. It is available online and in bookstores.
Thank you, Zwanga.
Thank you, Dudu.
Thank you for listening to this episode of PageCast, brought to you by Jonathan Ball Publishers. Did you love what you heard? Don't just stop at the stories. Buy the books. Visit your favorite bookstore to grab your next read. And remember to subscribe, share, and join us again next week for more fascinating conversations. Until then, happy reading.